the Spirit to be back with you once again, to be able to stand before you. I've been doing a series of lessons over at Bethel on the Sunday morning. I preached over there, and so the last lesson I did, I thought was a real good message for me. It helped me out quite a bit in my life and just my outlook on life. And so I thought I would kind of try to do it this morning, and hopefully it will help some of you all out also. And first of all, I want to ask you something. Do you ever feel like this donkey? Do you ever feel like you're at the bottom of a well, you know, and there's no hope of getting out? Or as we might say, do things sometimes feel even worse than that? Do they feel like this green hair? Just totally black. Not being able to see any kind of light whatsoever. I don't know about you, but sometimes I do. I feel like I get down on myself. I feel like that just, you know, there's troubles and trials, you know, come upon me. And sometimes I just don't know what to do. I feel like I'm stuck in the bottom of a well. And a lot of times, I guess you could say the donkey is a symbol of something that's not very smart. I think a lot of times I feel like it's my fault, you know, that I do that. But Peter realized that all of us have that problem. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 6, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 6, there in that passage, he gives us a list in verses. Verses 5 and 6, a whole list of things that we as Christians need to add to ourselves. But in verse 6, he says, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance. Perseverance. We need to add perseverance to our lives. The root idea of the Greek word portrays a picture of steadfastness. It describes the quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. The last part of this is really the true meaning. It has in it a forward look, the ability to focus on what is beyond the current pressures. In other words, when we get down, when we get into those trials and temptations and the world looks down on us and we feel like everything is black, it allows us to see light at the end of the tunnel. It allows us through our minds to realize that the end will come. Paul, in his life, had to endure a whole lot of trials and temptations. If you will, turn to 2 Corinthians with me. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul in this book gives a great description of what most of his life was like. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to look in verses 23 and go all the way through 29. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 29. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation. And so we see, looking at Paul's life, you know, the many trials, the many persecutions this man had to go through. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that I could endure all that. I mean, when you think about the beatings and the scourgings that he had to go through, I ain't for sure that I could endure all that. I know we have some people in the audience here that have actually been threatened with their lives. But once you look at Paul's life, it almost seemed like a continuous thing for this man. That was the norm for him to be in these types of situations. And so when we look at Paul's life and we look at our own hardships and the things that we have to look at, you know, at least in my own life, I can't say mine compared to his. And so when we get to thinking about this, I think Paul can be a good example to us. His mindset that he had will be a good example to us of what our mindset needs to be. That we will allow us to get through any and all hardships that might come to us in this world. I ask, if you will, turn to the book of Philippians chapter 1. The book of Philippians chapter 1. The rest of the lesson is going to be coming from this chapter. Once you turn here, you know, you won't be having to turn your Bibles anymore. So please, if you will, turn to this chapter and open it up. When we look at Paul in all of his afflictions, I think he gives the Philippians here in this first chapter. I think as we break down some of these verses, we can see Paul's mindset. And specifically, he had three things that he always concentrated on, that he thought about, and these were the ones that helped him get through his life. And the first of these is, we need to remember the benefit to others. When hardships, when trials, and when temptations, when all these things come upon us, we need to realize that others can be benefited through this. Notice, if you will, Philippians 1. Well, notice verses 12 through 18. Starting at verse 12, notice Paul says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in my chains, and most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." You know, what Paul is saying is, although I was put in these chains, what's happened is, instead of me being able just to speak, and yes, I preached to the Romans, I preached to the guards, and they have heard the gospel, but because of me being put in chains, my fellow brothers and sisters, they started going out now. They have found the courage, they have found the boldness through me, that if I can endure these chains and still preach the gospel, then they realize that they can too. You know? And so we see how much benefit came from Paul and his chains. That the word was spread. The gospel was spread to others more than it had been before. And in verse 18 he says, yes, and if that's going to be the case, that the gospel is going to be spread, he said, I don't care, in other words, I don't care to remain in these chains. If it's going to cause my brothers and sisters to go out and preach and be that much more preaching, I don't care that I'm in these chains, because that means that Christ is being taught. There's a lady named Corrie Ten Boom, and she wrote this book called The Hiding Place. And in this book, she describes or relates her story about what it was like to be in a Jewish concentration camp. Her and her sister both was taken to one of these camps during the war. And they were sent to a camp, and the barracks they lived in was designed for 400 people. They had put 1,400 women in these barracks. And this is somewhat the beds that they was living on. This is where they lived. The interesting thing about it was these things, these beds, they had mildew on them. There was cockroaches running everywhere. And then there was also locks all over the place. You know, a lot of us would say, or some people would say, well, God's just adding misery upon misery to them. Wouldn't it? A lot of people would say that. He's just making it worse for them. Why don't he make it better? Well, the interesting thing is, because of this lice and mildew and these cockroaches, two good things came from it. The first thing that came out of it was they was able to hide three valuable things to them. They was able to hide a sweater. They was able to hide a Bible. And then they was able to hide vitamin supplements that they needed. And this helped them stay healthy and get through the war. And then also there was the lice that was there. You know, it was interesting that one day, as she writes in her book, that her sister Betsy came to her, and as she was studying, she saw in the Bible where it says, say thanks or be thankful for everything. And so Betsy came to her and she said, you know what? We need to be thankful for the lice. And Corrie said, what? You're out of your mind. And Betsy says, no, the scriptures say, be thankful in everything. And Corrie said, no, I just won't do it. You be thankful if you want to. I'm not being thankful for the lice. Well, later on, Corrie said she found out, because of the lies, the guards would not enter the barracks. That was the one thing that kept him out. And so because of this, Betsy and Corrie could have their Bible studies. They was able then to talk with the other women, to study their Bible themselves in peace. And it was all because of the lies. You know, too many times, you know, when we think about trials that come upon us and our hardships, we need to remember that what might be a hardship to us might be a benefit to somebody else. Another thing I think we need to look at and remember when hardships come upon us or when we're just down, is that is we need to remember the help that is available for us. The help that is out there for us. Once again, there in Philippians, look at verses 20 and 21 this time. Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so we see from this that Paul realized Christ was going to be there. Christ was going to be there to help him along the way. And that's who he looked to for his strength, was Christ. Because he knew Christ would give him all the strength that he needed. There is a story told of a little girl, and her father was walking down the road, and they saw this rock up ahead. And the little girl asked the father, she said, "Daddy, if I use all my strength, do you think that I can lift that rock? Do you think I can move it?" And the father looked at her and said, "Yeah, I believe that you can do it if you use all your strength." And so the little girl tried lifting the rock. And she tried and she pulled and she tugged so much that, you know, sweat was coming out on her. And she just couldn't move. And so she gave up. She gave up. She just went, sat down on the rock, you know. And she looked at her dad and she said, "But Daddy, I thought you said I could be able to lift that rock." Well, her father looked at her and he says, "I did. But I said, if you use all of your strength, you can lift it. You can move it." And she said, "But Daddy, I did. I tried with all I had." But the father looked at her and said, "No, you didn't." He said, "You didn't ask me to help you." And that's the way it is. A lot of times with us. When hardships, when depression, when stress, when just tribulation and stuff comes upon us, too many times we look at the problem and we worry about it, but we forget to ask God to help us out with it. We forget that He has no limits, that He can help us, and if we are willing to ask Him for that help. If you will, look in Philippians 1 there, look at verse 19. Because Paul had the same thought. He said, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." You know, Paul had that outlook, as we mentioned before, that he was looking beyond the pressures and the prison that he was in. He was looking beyond that, and he was looking to Christ. And as it says, it will work out. He said, "I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers." And once again, that was another benefit of his being in prison. Because it, through their prayers, it caused people, the other Christians, it caused them to pray to God. And then he said not only that, but he said, "But the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." That is, that Christ was going to support him through the Spirit. And so this was another reason that Paul could last throughout all these trials, throughout all these temptations, through all the bad times. But then there was one more point, and that is, look at the benefit to ourselves. You know, too often times, we never think about this, do we? When things come upon us and we're looking down, we don't think there's any good that can come out of it at all. There couldn't be any good come out of this. But if we have the right attitude, I think we can. You know, they always say every cloud has its silver lining. I mean, that's true most of the time. That if we will truly look for the good in what's happening to us, we can usually find it. Philippians 1, once again, verses 23 through 25. He says, "For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. You know, as we look at Paul and we see him in this prison, when he is looking at himself and he's in these chains, he says, basically, there's only two things that will be able to happen to me. One of them is that my life will end. They might kill me. They're going to put me to death. He says, if that happens, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to meet Christ. I'm going to be with Christ. Well, what can be better than that? Even if these guys put me to death, I'm going to be with Christ. But then he says, if they don't, he says, that means I get to stay with my brothers and sisters on earth. That means I then will be able to help them. And so often, that's what it takes, isn't it? For us truly to be of benefit to others, first of all, we have to go through some trials ourselves. For us to really know how another feels, as the saying goes, too many times, we need to walk a mile in their shoes. You know, myself, I mean, truly, I cannot really sympathize that much with somebody that has lost a parent. Because I've never done it. I've never lost a parent. But you can take someone who has lost a parent, they know what it feels like. As Ron mentioned in his lessons that he done, he can do that now. He can sympathize. He knows what it feels like to lose parents where others don't. And so through many of our trials, through many of the hardships we go, it's for us. It's to make us stronger. It's to equip us better in God's work to help others. And we always need to keep that in mind. We always need to be looking for the good. Well, I'm going to end the sermon the same way I started, talking about this donkey in the well. The story is told of an actual donkey that fell in a well. And the farmer heard the donkey braying, and he came and he noticed this. He was down in there. And this was before we had our modern equipment that we could just maybe lift a knot with a crane or whatever. And so the farmer thought, and he just couldn't come up with a way to get the donkey out. And so he decided, well, I might as well put him out of his misery. You know, I'm just going to bury him. And so he got a couple of neighbors together. They came over and they started hauling dirt and they started throwing it down on the donkey. Well, each time the dirt would land on the donkey, that donkey, he would just shake it off. And then he'd start stomping his feet, trying to get out. Well, they kept hauling dirt in. And that donkey, he kept shaking the dirt off and stomping it down. And if you've not guessed it yet, the moral of the story is finally that donkey was high enough that he could get out of the well. You know, too many times we make our hardships harder than they actually are. We make the pain worse, the sorrow worse, because we are not looking ahead. We concentrate on the problem and we're not looking ahead. We're not looking out. But if we will do like Paul, if we will remember that it is going to be of a help to others, if we remember that we ourselves can be able to get some good out of it, and if we will remember that we have Christ to go to and He is just limitless on how He can help us, we will be able to persevere. We'll be able to get through any hardships that may come upon us. Well, that's the lesson for this morning. You know, all of us face those hardships. And from time to time, some of us fall. And we need God's help to get right. We're about to sing number 304 this morning as a song of encouragement to you. The title of the song is, Why Do You Wait? You know, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of times we do not have the power to get out of the hardships that we're in. But with Christ's help, we can. We don't have the power ourselves to have the forgiveness of sins. But through Christ, we can. If we will believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, we can be forgiven of those sins. And then we can start on the path to hell. But if for some reason we fail, our perseverance just isn't there, we're just not strong enough, and we fall. In Acts 8 and verse 22, Simon was told for him to pray that God would forgive him of that. You know, it's very simple to do. And with God's help, it can be done. All we ask you to do is, if there's something that we need to do this morning to help you out, all you have to do is come forward and make it known as we stand and as we sing.